Okay, so we're going to talk today about one of the great Torah personalities whose yahrzeit is tomorrow. His name is Rav Shlomo Luria, the Maharshal, and tomorrow is his 444th yahrzeit. So it was a couple of years ago that he lived, but he was really one of the great, great luminaries of the last few hundred years. So he lives in the year 1510, passes away in the year 1573, and he was one of the great Gedolim in Poland at the same time as the Rama and the Beis Yosef and many others of that generation. Now, to be considered a great luminary in a generation where you have the Rama and the Beis Yosef living at the same time means you have to be somebody who is a tremendous and towering personality. And he, as we'll see in a few minutes, what the Rama wrote about him, it seems that he definitely was deserving of such a title. So the thorough analysis of the Talmud that he went through, looking at every word and making sure that the dikduk is correct, and he made corrections to so much of the printed Talmud that we have today, and he writes that as he wrote his commentary on the Gemara, he says he made sure to include all of the poskim akadmonim, he made sure to include all of the rishonim, all of the opinions from anyone who came before him, and the reason he did that is because kedei shelo yavo bal hadin lachlok velomar, he didn't want anyone coming along later on and saying, oh, maybe the Maharshal didn't see this manuscript, maybe he didn't see this Rishon, this Achron, this Kadmon, and he said, let everybody know, I saw it all, I was a thorough studier of Talmud, I made sure that I looked over every single opinion, I included them in my commentary, and even so I came to the conclusion that I came to. And nobody should come later on and misinterpret what my opinion may have been, or claim that it would have been otherwise had I only seen something else. He wanted everyone to know that his commentary was one that can be trusted, that one that could be proven, because it was done with tremendous thorough analysis of everything that he worked on. So the Maharshal in his day was one of the great halachic authorities, and he was extremely popular in his day. The Maharshal, because he was so into halacha, was a staunch opponent for those who were learning Kabbalah. So in one of his tshuvas he writes, there was someone who asked him a shaila, that based on the Sifrei Kabbalah, I don't know anything about it, but based on the Sifrei Kabbalah, it seems that one is supposed to make a bracha on the tefillin sitting down. Svardim have the minhag that they make the bracha on the tefillin sitting down based on the Zohar. So they sent this question to the Maharshal that they were very enlightened by this passage in the Kabbalah Svarim, that one should sit while making the bracha on the tefillin. And he responds to him, not only as a response on that particular issue of whether or not you should sit or stand while making the bracha, he responds to him in general about the study of Kabbalah, and he says the following. Da Ahuvi, he says, my dear and beloved friend. Chadashim Mikarav Bo, he said, there are new people who come along in our generation. Verotzim Lios Mikata Mukubalim Umibdrashe Hanelamim. There are people who want to consider themselves as a part of the Kabbalic way of thinking. Or he says, of those people who are Midrashe Nealamim, they want to figure out all of the hidden secrets of the world. And he says, I don't think that this is a good idea. I am very opposed to it. I think everybody should stick to the basics and do what you're supposed to do. Ahuvi, he says, my dear friend, al telech b'derech itam, do not follow this new wave of the future. Don't go along with them. Do not study Kabbalah. Ve'en lecha esek b'nistaros, you have no business studying all of these aspects of Torah. Ha'misyarim michidusheim, these people show off as if they are such great people, such great personalities. They know Kabbalah inside out. Ki'iluhem yodim u'mevinim razei ha-Torah utzvuna, as if they understand all of the secrets of Torah and everything there is to know. Halavai sheyedu ha-gluyim. He says, if only people would know the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tosfos, the Psukim, the Chumash, and all the interpretations that one has to know before getting to Kabbalah, he says, if I were you, I would back off and just leave it the way it is. Let's not get involved in these things. And he writes in the end of that tshuva, kala mishana yado ala tachtona. Anyone who wants to change the flow of Jewish history, anybody who wants to change the way of thinking or the way of studying in Jewish history has the burden of proof on themselves. And he says, Yadenu al ha'yona, we're studying the same old books. I'm studying the Gemara with the Rashi, with the Tosfos. I'm studying the Chumash with all the Mefarshim. I don't need any of this new stuff. And he says, if it were up to me, I would encourage you to leave all of this new wave of thought behind and just to make sure that you study all that we know to be proven as the most important books, the most important literature for any Jew to know. So he had a very complicated life, very difficult life to say the least, anything but smooth. And he writes in one of his tshuvas that he went through a number of experiences where he opened yeshivas and then he had to run away and go somewhere else and open another yeshiva, but not because of the reason that you may have thought. Very often when we find that a great tzaddik opened a yeshiva and had to run away, it was because people were after him or the authorities were trying to arrest him. Here he writes, no, it was because he had Talmidim who were rebelling against him. He had Talmidim in his own yeshiva who put together a coup. They put together some sort of uprising. And he says, because of that, Hey, motzi motzi chutz lemechitzasi. They threw me out of the place in a number of instances, he writes. And because of that, he was on the go. He kept moving around Poland, starting different yeshivas. And yet, through all that, although he had tremendous difficulty, and although it was not easy for him to stay in one place and to actually build the yeshiva that he wanted to build, some of the greatest personalities of that generation came from his yeshiva and were considering themselves his talmidim. For example, the Sma, who was on every page in Chosha Mishpat, was one of the star disciples of the Maharshal. Or the Kli Yakar, we've all seen the Kli Yakar on Chumash, also considered himself one of the close talmidim of the Maharshal. The Maharal Miprag had a brother who also learned by the Maharshal, and the Masis Binyamin, and the Mate Moshe, and many others. Some say the Shalah, it's not really true. The Shalah was not a Talmud of his, he was a Talmud of his, who had the same name as the Rebbe. There were two Maharshals. One was the Maharshal HaGadol, one was the Maharshal who was the Talmud of the Maharshal. So the Shalah was the student of the second one. But either way, the point is, he had many, many great luminaries who came from his yeshiva, and he had a tremendous impact and an influence on them. In fact, in one of his tshuvas, he writes an amusing story that he had a grandmother who was a very learned woman by the name of Miriam, and he said he didn't understand why, when he has this grandmother and she has so much Torah knowledge to share with the community, why shouldn't she have the opportunity to teach his Talmidim as well? So he writes that he had his grandmother come to the, had his mother or his grandmother come to the yeshiva, and he puts up a mechitza in front of her, and she's speaking from behind the mechitza, and she was teaching Torah, she was giving a shir klali to the Talmidim in his yeshiva. Can you imagine? The Sma, the Kli Yakar, and the Masis Binyamin, they're all sitting there listening to the shir from the grandmother of the Maharshal, because he thought she had so much Torah knowledge to share with them. So he has anecdotes here and there about what went on in that yeshiva, but he clearly made a tremendous impact and an incredible influence on his generation. There was a very close connection and a relationship between the Maharshal and the Rama. As we mentioned, both of them lived in the 1500s. Both of them were incredibly towering figures. And you see that there's a great correspondence between the two of them. Although they had tremendous regard and respect for one another, they did have very fierce disagreements. So the Maharshal writes to his friend, the Rama, that he has big claims against him, why it is that he quotes Aristotle, why it is that he quotes some philosophy in some of the tshuvas that he writes. He said, what place does that have in a tshuva sefer? Why are you getting involved in philosophy that has no place in the Torah language and the Torah way of thinking at all? He writes another letter to the Rama that he's angry at him, why he doesn't know diktuk. He doesn't know how to speak Hebrew, he doesn't know how to write Hebrew. He says, you mix up Lashon Yachid with Lashon Rabim, you mix up Lashon Nekeva with Lashon Zachar. How can you be a person who calls yourself such a great Talmud Chacham, the Rama, and you don't even know how to write Hebrew? You don't know diktuk, you don't know anything about anything. And he writes to him how he's upset, how he can publish a sefer and make a mistake between Zachar and Nekeva, Yachid and Rabim. How do you not understand the Torah language properly enough to write a sefer the way it's supposed to be written? Irregardless of the fact that they had many disagreements and very fierce disputes, the way they wrote to one another was with such humility, was with such dignity, it was incredible the way they corresponded. So he writes the following. The Rama writes about the Maharshal. He says, Shmo Yotze Vitivo Yotze. He says, the prominence of the Maharshal I don't have to tell anyone about. Everyone knows about who the Maharshal was. He is extremely well known. Ashrei Ledor Sheshari Betocho La'os La'moves Ki Kusiel. Blessed is a generation who has somebody who is as magnificent, who is as amazing, as talented as Yekusiel. Who is Yekusiel? Moshe Rabbeinu. That was one of the names of Moshe Rabbeinu. So blessed is a generation who is as lucky to have somebody the likes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Gadol Keshama, he was as great as Shammai in the Gemara. Anvesan Kehillel, he was as humble as Hillel was. Kalof HaPareach Alav B'Shasha Osek Patar Miyad Nisraf. His extreme degrees of humility, whenever there would be something flying by his head, like the Gemara says about Yonos HaMenuzil, the Rama writes, that's what would happen with the Maharshal as well. Called Dvarim Sheneshtakhu, anything that was forgotten throughout the millennia of Jewish history, Machzir B'Pilpulo Ke'asniel, he had the ability to bring it all back and to remember it because he had such a mastery of Torah knowledge in every aspect of Torah, and writes the Rama, I feel blessed to be living in the same generation as the Maharshal. The Rama writes once again in the Hagdama to the Sefer Chachma Shlomo, which is one of the Maharshal Svarim on Shas. He writes, Te'enu re'ena benos tzion b'melech Shlomo. I want everyone to come out and see the incredible king, Shlomo, who is Reb Shlomo Luria, the Maharshal, be'atar she'itu la Hashem Yisbarach b'tarasa. Look at the crown that God gave him, with the amount of Torah knowledge that God allowed him to understand and to master. Oker harim b'pilpulo v'sinai b'hara, so he's an absolute genius with a brilliant mind who has encyclopedic knowledge. However, he writes, Reishis Dover. The most impressive thing about the Maharshal was, Yirash Hashem kodem lechachmaso, his fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam was greater than all the Torah knowledge that he had. Meimav Kemayim Karam, he says, when you listen to the Maharshal speak, it was like getting fresh water on a person who's nefesh ayefa, who is so exhausted. A person takes a nice hot shower and gets refreshed, writes the Rama. That's what it felt like being in the presence of the Maharshal. Viroi lismachalav, says the Rama. It is worthy to rely on the opinions on the psukim of the Maharshal. Kimosha mipi hagvura. The same way we rely on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu got everything directly from the word of Hashem, so too writes the Rama, we should rely on the opinions of the Maharshal. It was the same experience. The same way Moshe Rabbeinu went up to accept all the word of God and he presented it to all of us, the Jewish people, that is the experience of what it was like when the Maharshal taught Torah as well. It's an incredible kind of way of speaking about a friend of his, about a contemporary of his, but that is really the extreme regard, the extreme reverence that they had for this towering figure, for this incredible personality, the Maharshal, who, as we mentioned, passed away a little bit over 400 years ago. The Maharshal reciprocates and writes back to the Rama in his Tshuvos also with incredible terminology. He says, Ha'ish Moshe, we know the Rama's name was Rav Moshe Isserlin, so he says, the great man Moshe was Gadol Ma'od, he was incredibly prominent, Ner Mumeimav Nitzvu Kamod Nod, he said, everybody all over the world has heard about him, he's a Yannick V'Chakima D'Dari, he's the brilliant man of the generation, Kimi Gadol Mimar Shehalacha L'Moshe Misina, he said, who's greater than you, Moshe, that we can say about you, Halacha L'Moshe Misina, whatever you say is like it said already from Har Sinai, Mi Moshe V'Ad Moshe Lo Kam K'Moshe, he says, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no one as great as you. So they're throwing around these incredible accolades, talking about each other, how fond they were of one another, and yet you find that although they were very fond of each other, they did have very strong disagreements. And although that was the case, the Rama ended up having the mazel that he became the one that all of Ashkenazic Jewry follows. And the Shalah HaKadosh writes that although we do follow the Psukim of the Rama, and we have not followed many of the Psukim of the Maharshal, the Shalah writes that he feels Rori Lechol Yare Shamayim. The Shalah says it makes sense for anyone who has Yare Shamayim to try and satisfy the opinions of the Maharshal, because after all, look at what the Rama himself said about the Maharshal. Doesn't it make sense? We should try and satisfy his opinion, even if it may not have made it onto the pages of Shulchan Aruch, but we should at least take it into account. We should do whatever we can to at least understand and to think about what it is that he said. And the Maharshal writes in another letter about the Rama, he says, Chashuv ata be'enai, you are so beloved in my eyes, b'sichlo hazach kechal echad min ha'gaonim ha'achronim. You are top tier in my mind, writes the Maharshal about the Rama, that's how much I accept you, even though you're much younger than I am, but I feel that you have such a clarity of thought and such a clarity of spirit, and you deserve to be listened to because your psukim were thought about with a thorough analysis of all of the sugyas, of all of Shas, and of all the literature that needs to be studied. Rav Meir Shapiro said over a story that he saw in Lublin. Now, they used to have a Pinkas HaChever Kadisha. The Chever Kadisha in Lublin used to keep a diary of some interesting stories that took place while they were doing the job that they did. So they had the following story that Rav Meir Shapiro, who lived in Lublin, said that he saw the diary of the city of Lublin, of the Chever Kadisha, and he saw the following story. Many, many generations earlier, the Maharshal lived in the community in Lublin. So he writes the following story, that the Maharshal had a student, and this student lost his wife. They didn't have any children, and the wife passed away at a very young age. And he noticed that this husband buried his wife, and after the mourning period was over, the 12 months and everything, he saw that the man was still so depressed, and he was still in such an extreme state of mourning, and he went over to him and he had a conversation. He said, you know, it's inappropriate already. It's time for you to try to move on. And he couldn't get out of him exactly why it was that he was in such a deep state of mourning. Yes, he lost his wife, but you know, after a certain period of time, one has to be able to look past it and to move forward in life. So he finally gets into a conversation with him and he says, maybe you can share with me what's going on. Why is it that you feel so heavy-hearted over the fact that you lost your wife? It's been a year or two already. It's time to move on. So the man tells him, look, the truth is, before my wife passed away, we were having a conversation, and I promised her, but Kiyas Kafi says, I made a swear to her, Beshvua, that I will never get remarried because I love her so much. And if I get remarried, it shows that my love to her was not complete. And he says, then I realized it was such a mistake for me to say that. Why should I say such a thing? I'm a young man. I never had children. Why shouldn't I get remarried and be able to move on with life? But I can't break the promise that I made to my wife. So the story goes that the Maharshal said to him, you have every right to go and get remarried. Don't worry about it. The promise that you made to your wife is nonsense, and you should go and marry another woman. That's what he does. He goes and he gets remarried. He's so excited about the fact that the Maharshal absolved him of his neder, of his shvua that he made to his wife. And the guy puts out an announcement that he's getting engaged, he's getting married, and they arrange the wedding. And he says, Lo avri yamim muatim, a number of days after the wedding, the whole town of Lublin is in a tizzy because ha'avrich niftar lebeis olamo. This guy passes away. The guy dies. So they come to the marshal, they say, hey, he asked you what to do. You gave him this idea that he should go against the promise that he made to his wife, and now all of a sudden he goes and gets remarried and he dies a few days later in the middle of Shevet Brachos. How do you do this to such a person? The Marashal tells the Chever Kadisha, before you bury him, I want you to come to my house. I want to have a word with him. So what do you mean you want to have a word with him? What are you going to talk to him about? He says, don't worry, you come to my house, I'm going to figure this out. The Marashal, as they were about to do the burial, writes a letter. And in the letter, it's a piska, it says he writes a little note. And in the note it says the following, Shalom, shalom lachem, pamayu shamayla. Greetings to all of you up in heaven, who are the heavenly tribunal. Halo asei, do halo sasei. Shabbat Torah, don't we know that every time in the Torah we have a conflict of an asei versus halo sasei, the asei wins out. He says over here, this man had a mitzvah to have children. He was not able to accomplish the mitzvah with his first wife. Asei do halo sasei. Yes, he made a promise to his wife he's not going to get remarried, but he has an obligation to get remarried in order that he should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of having children. He says, Gozrani aleichem, write to the Marashal, I tell all of you, I instruct all of you in the heavenly tribunal, Bekoach HaTorah, in the power of Torah that is vested in me, She'tachziru liyas avrechazeh, that you must put back this human being onto this earth because he has not fulfilled his mitzvah of having children. And he gives this note into the hand of the dead man, and he says, now you can go ahead and bury him. And the story goes, as our Meir Shapiro reported it, that a couple of hours later, the guy was walking around the streets in his tachrichim, and nobody knew what was going on. And basically, the Maharshal was successful in convincing the Pamalya Shamayla that he should perform a Tchiyas HaMesim. It's an incredible story. And Rav Meir Shapiro said, it's a mitzvah to share this story to show what the Koach HaTorah is able to give a person, the power that it's able to give someone, that it could even undo a decision that was made in heaven. So the Maharshal, one of the great things that he did in his life is that he took upon his own responsibility to be a great leader. And he said, therefore, because I'm a leader of the Jewish people, because I have a mastery of Torah, because God gave me this incredible gift, and therefore he writes, Yiftach b'dorah kishmul b'dorah. I have an obligation to express my opinion about all the pressing issues that are going on in this community. And he says, very often that means I even have to disagree with those who came before me. And very often that means I have to disagree with some Rishonim who came before me. So there's one time in the Maharshal where he writes that he is at odds with almost all the Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rif and the Ran and the Rashba and everybody. The Maharshal feels all of them made a mistake in understanding the Gemara and understanding the Sugya. And he voices his opinion and he says, Misyari ani shelo yarutzi gagolos. I hope they won't smash my head over the fact that I'm being so arrogant to say my opinion. However, he says, Aval Torahi v'limit ani tzarech v'hanira be'enai kasafti. I'm a leader. And God vested in me the ability to have a tremendous mastery of Torah. And my obligation, part of that obligation is to voice my opinion, even if it's at odds of many greats who came before me. And he goes on in many different of his svarim to disagree with the Rambam, he disagrees with the Rashba, he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch, with the Beis Yosef, and he feels that that's part of his obligation, is to show the world that I went through my limited understanding, but to the maximum that I possibly could, and therefore I'm voicing my opinion as one of the greats of this generation. So much so, that in the 1700s, the great Noda Behuda wrote about him, that he thought it was so striking, he thought it was shocking that you can have a personality who came after the Rishonim who had no problem disagreeing with them all. And he had no problem taking on the Rambam and writing that the Rambam made a mistake, and writing that the Beis Yosef made a mistake, and writing that the Ran and the Rashba and the Rif and the Tur, everybody made a mistake, and he just has the confidence to say such a thing. Reiser Bechezkel Landau, it seems to me, ki libo ki lev ha'ari, it seems that he had the heart of a lion, and he had tremendous influence on his generation, and people trusted him, and therefore he felt that he had every right and every obligation as a leader of his generation to take on the Rishonim when it was necessary and to voice his opinion, even though sometimes it was at odds with many others of his generation or of previous ones as well. So the great legacy of the Maharshal is one that I think often is not spoken about, because after all, he lived at the same time as the Rama and the Beis Yosef, and the two of them went down in history as the most important halachic decisors as we know them. They are the ones who lead all of the Psak Halacha that we follow today, but the Maharshal should not be forgotten. The Maharshal was a great towering giant who lived at their times. If you look at the words of the Rama and the way he addresses him and the way they speak about one another, it seems that he was certainly on par, if not even greater than some of them. So it's incumbent upon us at least once a year to think a little bit about the Maharshal and the contributions that he made to our halachic system and how much he gave over to our generation and how much he influenced his own generation and all the Talmidim that came as a result of his yeshiva, of all of his influence that he gave over to the people of his time. That was the life and the times of the great Maharshal.